This is the Real Royal Family Podcast with your co-host Valerie Wright, and we're here to take back your crown and the jewels that are on it, the jewels of your life, your joy, and your purpose. Only God's love and power can conquer trauma. Now, this is not virtual reality. It is spiritual reality. It is not a game, but we are going to treat it as a challenge to destroy what is destroying you. And God's word says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you." Let's get it. Get it. Get it. So welcome to this next episode of the Real Royal Family. We are on the topic of sibling rivalry, and this is, of course, Valerie Wright, and I am your spiritual Harriet Tubman, and I am always here and filled with the Holy Spirit, who I've been learning so much more about how he energizes us. So when you're feeling tired next time, instead of getting an imitation energy drink, speak to the Holy Spirit and say, "I need you to quicken me and strengthen me," because he's the same spirit that's in you that raised Christ from the dead. What's a little bit of an energy jolt? It's nothing for the Holy Spirit to give you an energy jolt. So we are on sibling rivalry part two. So the principle of sibling rivalry part two is peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So now peace should not just be a seed in a seed form in your heart. It needs to be seen. These fruit of the Spirit need to be seen in you. They are not theory. So peace, there needs to be the fruit of peace, not just in seed form. If you are to graduate to a position in our kingdom where you are not just tossed to and fro and you succumb to every little demon that tries to take you out, you need to operate by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And nothing should be tossing you to and fro. Nothing. You don't have any excuses. Okay? So the fruit of peace is sweet. It's delicious. Arguments, bickering, complaining stop in your presence. That means they stop in your mind. That also means that ruminating where something happened and the person said this and you keep going over it over and over in your mind. Oh yeah, how do I know? Because I used to do it. And there is really nothing more freeing than recognizing that I'm thinking of great things, that I'm confessing the word of God about me and my future in my mind and in my heart. I'm saying it quietly under my mouth, and sometimes I'm just speaking it out loud. So arguments, bickering, complaining stop in your presence. First they have to stop in you, and then once you get a mastery of it, then all of a sudden it will start to charge the atmosphere outside of you, because the spirits driving the discord have no power in the atmosphere where you are when you conquer those spirits. And those get conquered by the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the three major ones, a love, joy, and peace. So where you and the Holy Spirit are, when you begin to control yourself and not allow anything to have dominion over you, not your emotions, not any excuses, "But that person said, well, I'm just made of flesh, well, I don't let anybody talk to me like that, they curse me out, I'm going to curse them out." Folks, don't be set up all the time, all right? So someone does something to you, you figure out what the word wants you to do. Now, if they put their hands on you, that's a total other thing. So scripture for the Real Royal Family sibling rivalry part two is Job 5:2. We have two scriptures for today. Job chapter 5 verse 2 in the King James says, "For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one." So this is telling you envy is silly. When you feel envy, there's something about you that becomes silly and foolish. Pets get envious. You're not a pet. You are a new creation. You are a special invention made by God. Also, now we're going to Proverbs 27, verse 4. So wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Don't try to mitigate envy or wrath or anger. Stop trying to be the peacemaker and the people pleaser. It does not work. Unless you have the Prince of Peace inside of you, you can't be a peacemaker. Okay? So you are to be peace. And then the peace that is in you charges the atmosphere outside of you. Unless that's your job to be an arbitrator or a mediator. Stop, you know, people, oh, I'm a peacemaker, peacemaker. No, you're not. You're nosy. And you're trying to be liked and loved by people by showing that you can stop people from arguing. Most people really don't have the ability to do that, and you should really probably focus on what you're supposed to do instead of worrying about whether other people are getting along. Some people are not supposed to get along. Some people you're not supposed to be around. So envy and wrath are spirits. We are tricked into thinking they are emotions. They are spirits that cause many a murder, suicide, road rage, going postal. Envy especially is based upon the false idea of scarcity. We Christians, we true Christians, not the carnal ones, we don't live in scarcity. When we are faith-filled doers of the word, our kingdom is based upon abundance. So our kingdom is word-based and we are word-based. So we don't think about scarcity. If we want something, remember last week we went to James 4 verse 2, you have not because you ask not, and then when you ask amiss. You're asking God for something for the wrong purpose. Our kingdom is based upon abundance. Our kingdom is based upon abundance. It is a kingdom of abundance. There's no shortage here. You do not have to compete with anyone. You have to learn the principles of our kingdom. You have to learn that the world is teaching you the opposite of our kingdom. You have to get your brain renewed into our kingdom's way of doing things. And this is what the Real Royal Family is about. That's what spiritual reality is. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. And that word truth in the Bible means reality. If you get a false reality, a virtual reality, you really think something is going on, but it's really not going on. Okay, so you have a headset or a mask on in front of you, and it is interpreting what it wants you to believe. Our kingdom says, our Father says, this is the way that our kingdom operates. You get in it. If you want the riches and the mystery and the glory and living in your purpose that is in His Word, get in His Word, find out where you are in it, and begin to speak it and live it. So Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of darkness. It is based upon scarcity. My Father's kingdom, and if you are a faith-filled, Christ-living believer, your Father's kingdom also is based upon addition and multiplication. The kingdom of darkness always wants to promote the idea of division and subtraction, the idea that there is scarcity. Rivalry is competing against one another. And all sibling rivalry or work rivalry or the different forms of rivalry, sometimes it's a gang stalking thing, and that usually is a sign that you are a very powerful warrior. So rivalry is competing against one another, competing for rank in an imaginary rank system. Now, does our kingdom have a rank system? It sure does, but it's not imaginary. And you should be able to see yourself grow in our Father's system from glory to glory to glory. So every rank has glory in it. So no one compares to you, so there can be no comparison. You are your own special, beautiful, and rare one-of-a-kind gem. especially when you are operating in your purpose, in the purpose that your Father has designed you for, because it's all about the King, right? And you are here on a mission to do the thing He sent you to do. It's already inside of you. You want to do it. You're designed for it. Sometimes rivalry is set up by parents. Sometimes it's done purposely if a parent is a narcissist. And sometimes it's not, because a parent just doesn't know how to really be a parent. There's not any schools to do that. But it's definitely set up by society and the kingdom of darkness that runs the world system. But a territory taker, that's me, and that's definitely you, because you're listening and you want to take territory. Territory is taken first inside. You conquer you. You conquer the things that are in your bloodline first. And then all of a sudden, you begin to see how when you show up, demons flee. But you got to do the inside work first, right? So if you are a Christian that is on fire, not a carnal Christian, if you are full of the Holy Ghost and with the proof of the fruit of love, joy, and peace, we run systems too. But you got to get there, and you got to do it consistently, and you have to know how to do it. And it's not just about sitting in pews and going to church. You must know the way that your kingdom operates. You must know that you are a new creation. You must know that you can't say, well, I'm just, you know, made out of flesh. Yeah, the old man was made out of flesh. Your new version is made out of life. You're quickened now. But once again, you also you have to learn. You have to learn the new system, just like you were a baby. And you had to learn how to walk, and you had to learn how to talk. You had to learn how to do your systems, your kingdom's way of doing things. So I told one of my nephews who was resisting his older brother. The older siblings generally do have a tendency to try to dominate the younger ones. They think they are sometimes the parent. Sometimes the parent decades ago has put them in that position. So now that the younger sibling is grown up, it is their responsibility to learn who they are in Christ, not who they are in mommy and daddy, not who they are under the wing of the older sibling. And the older siblings, you need to stop that. Sometimes your intentions are good. Sometimes you're just trying to dominate and be bossy or think that you're the parent. Don't put all that pressure on yourself. Relax yourself. Cut yourself some slack. You did a good job as an older brother and sister when the baby could go to the stairs and topple down because they didn't know better and you did. Thank you and bless you for the wonderful things you did. And if you weren't an older sibling, well, those things are going to come back to you, because our kingdom is also a kingdom of reaping what we have sown, of harvesting what we have planted. And you always harvest later the same thing and more than you planted. So I said to my nephew who was resisting the older sibling, I was like, what are you doing? And, you know, and he says, like, I think he's my parent. I was like, but why are you fighting him? Obviously, he's not your parent, and you know, and he knows, so then you'd have to fight him for that. And then he just basically said, I want to make my own way. I don't want to be in his shadow. What a great, wonderful thing to say. The only shadow you should be in is in the shadow of the Holy Spirit, right? And that's to hide you from burning in the sun or protection. And that's the only reason the Holy Spirit wants to shadow you, is to protect you, not to hide you. So I said to my nephew, so don't be in his shadow. Start your own kingdom. He paused. He looked at me. The revelation light went on. And A few days later, an opportunity came up. We didn't really know what it was, but I felt deep inside he was doing a job. And I said, you know what? I'll finish this job up. I think you need to go to that assignment. He didn't even hesitate. He's like, okay, see you later, auntie. I was like, wow, that was easy. And then the story is a wonderfully hilarious story. He went to a modeling session that was designed for the older brother, who is a professional boxer. The younger brother at this point was still in the amateurs. And when the older brother went to be in the fashion show, the agents, they loved him. They thought he was handsome. They even had another friend along. And they're like, okay, yeah, you're good too. And when they saw the younger one, when they saw Kristen Biggs, and he's kind of standing there just looking very aloof. He just came along for the ride because the other two guys went. And so the fashion agent said, who, you. And he's like, what, me? Yeah, you. It's like, did you come here to audition? No, I'm just here with him. It's like, you mind doing this favor? Can you just walk for us? And he begins to walk and they all stop talking and they look at each other. And they're like, what are you doing on, you know, fill in the blank, the day of the modeling show? So basically, I wasn't there, but the way these guys tell the story, it is so funny, because the modeling agents, they were like, it's always the ones who just come along with their friend that get picked. Now, all of those gentlemen are just tall, manly, beautiful, wonderful inside and out, but there definitely is something about this third one. Those modeling agents saw it. He is a beautiful being to behold. And after I said to him, start your own kingdom, he started thinking about things that he wanted to do, and he started to do it. And he's fantastic at it. So sibling rivalry, let's go back to sibling rivalry. And if you've always been compared to your sibling, I'm going to say to you again, there is no comparison to you. You're unique. You're wonderful. You're beautiful. You have a purpose here on earth that no one else can do. Our God does not recycle. You are not an old soul. You are not reincarnated. That's shenanigans from the other kingdom. You might have a mantle. You might behave very well like someone else, but God has chosen you and you are unique. And the word says it is appointed for man to die once. So sibling rivalry is the same spirit. It's the same basic spirit. It's all that the hatred and the competition of mankind, okay? It's with race, it's with sex, it's with class, it's at work. It's in love relationships. Don't get tricked by the deception of scarcity. It's a lie. That's why we at the Real Royal Family, we're based upon spiritual reality. The spiritual reality is there is no limit. My father owns 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. And those 1,000 cattle are constantly reproducing, so their number doesn't even stay at 1,000. And then if those hills that we are on are 1,000 hills, you climb over one or two of those hills, and now you're standing on the third hill. From that vantage point, there's another 1,000 hills with another 1,000 cattle on it. Stop thinking that you are stuck. That's a lie. Question everything, but question everything using the word. Don't just be a rebel without a cause. Be on a mission to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. So once again, our magnificent Father, and if you're a believer, he's your Father too. And if you don't know how to be fathered, then you ask the Holy Spirit to show you how to learn how to be loved, how to learn how to be fathered. That's a whole other episode that I will go into later. But you don't have to fight for anything. You just ask Him for it. And then you keep confessing it. And then you see it in your mind. All right? And you keep saying it. So you might have already said 2 million times, or somebody else might have told you 2 million times, you're stupid or you're broke. But you need to start speaking God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. For I know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for my sake became poor, so that I through His poverty might be rich. So I'm rich. I am rich and I am honored. I have riches and honor. Money comes to me. I'm a money magnet. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. As He is, so am I. I walk on this earth with authority, but I only have the authority to the extent that I have the spiritual reality of what His word says about me. And until you speak it, only word cancels out other word. So if you kept saying, I'm broke, why am I broke? Then as many times in as many decades, you might need to start counting. All right, I'm going to say this 100 times a day. I'm rich. I'm rich. Jesus became poor so I could be rich. I'm rich. I'm wealthy. I own my own house. I have $100,000 in the bank. I have $1 million in the bank. Okay? So, you have to learn. You have to learn to be in this kingdom. And you have to speak to the Father. He says, ask for it, I'll give it to you. Ask for it means also speaking it, seeing it. What kind of house? So when you have faith for something, and that's different than just believing something. Faith is a real substance. And I'm learning to do this now. And I have something that I have, that I am building brick by brick. And that's what you're doing when you're speaking those words. And so when they manifest in this earth realm, and they will do it very, very soon. And I've been looking for this for over a decade. Thank God for Pastor Chris and my prophet, my wonderful prophet, Hubert Angel, and his beautiful wife, BB, and their family is just so lovely and enjoyable. And when you grow up under a prophet like Hubert Angel and his wife, BB Angel, you should see their son. He's called the Seer. He's just phenomenal. Had I learned what his father taught him from whence he was a baby, how far I could go. But guess what? My father, as I say this in my confessions too, will restore to me the years that the locust, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm have eaten. So I can get to exactly where I'm supposed to be. I used to just feel bad about it, but I don't. So here's a question. Why do we pray for our siblings? If they're mean to us, they're doing horrible things, if they are backstabbing us, if they're trying to ruin our reputation, telling lies about us, if they are in witchcraft and doing spells on us, why do you pray for them? So the Word, and remember Jesus is the Word, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The Word, Jesus says it in this scripture. It says, Luke 6:28, bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. And I used to ask, why, Lord, why? Why did you give me this family? They are so dysfunctional and I'm the one that's seeing it. And because I'm the one that's seeing it and calling people out on it, I'm not saying I was always right in how I did it. But I knew something was wrong. because that was the purpose that God put in me. So I'm the curse breaker of the family. So not just of my generation. I got to break mommy and daddy's curses and aunties and going all the way back to Adam. And then for my niece and nephew and any children that I may have. So, but I just ask, why, Lord, why? Why can't they see it? I used to ask. Then he says it again in Matthew 5:44, King James Version. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? Now, God does say, come, let us reason together. But my why was more of a whine, like, let them do it for themselves. But then I also knew, intrinsically that that was the wrong answer. But I was like, why am I helping? Why, God, why? Why do you want me? It's not a want. Why are you commanding me? Why is it a principle that I have to help people who you designed to love me? That's what makes their hatred. Why do you want me to help people whom I'm being loving towards? They're dominating. They're trying to dominate, intimidate, and manipulate me. They're supposed to love me. I'm being loving to them. Why? You're telling me to help people who, if I help them, they will only use the strength that I pray for them to attack me more? Those are very good questions. And God doesn't mind you saying, come, let us reason together. So when my whining went from, you know, hands crossed in front of me with my toe tapping, you know, like, why, really in the back of my mind, I don't think that's going to happen. But when I really wanted to know, and I said, you know, you're God, and I really want to know the reason. I really wanted to know the reason. But then I did a body check, and I was like, you know what? I'm not really harmed or hurt. The words, after I got more mature, after I stopped ruminating it, the words, and chewing it and repeating everything they said to me and amplifying it every time I repeated it, once I got quiet inside, once I had love, more joy, more peace inside of me, those words really didn't touch me, especially now that I'm canceling them all out and rebuilding God's word for me and his purpose for me. So I realize, Satan walks around as a lion. So he's not a lion. We are the lions, but he's acting like he's a lion. So he might roar in your face to instill fear upon you. Now, if you accept the fear, then that means what he has done has worked. So you have to, if you envision Satan, that he's a toothless lion, he can only gum at you. So you have the ability to tear him and his kingdom and his minions apart. So what, instead of those words that are meaningful and hateful impacting me, I should have been, and now I am, speaking words over myself, over my siblings and my bloodline in confession that he says about me and them. So a simple way to pray for your sibling, hold on, let me get to that later. Okay, so those words don't have the power unless you give them the power. Okay, so I have the power. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, and I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit, who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. That word self-control means revelation light. So you have the Holy Spirit in you. That means you have mighty power. That means you have mighty, mighty, mighty power. Start using it and making a space for that mighty power inside of you. Love and revelation light or instruction. We do not add darkness to a dark situation. So they're messing with us, we don't mess with them back. Guilty of that. And then I see what the result of that is, and then that's not the result that I want. I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I also told you that one of my other principles is, as long as Satan doesn't win, if that sibling who's the narcissist or family member, if they think they won something by dogging me out and saying things about me, if they think they won, they didn't. Because remember, there's sowing and reaping. When we do dark things in return for things that people have done to us, it multiplies the darkness. We are light bringers. We are fire bearers. We are shiny. We bring life. God was growing me up. When there were times and situations where family members were speaking ill of me, my supervisors were also speaking ill of me. Not just one supervisor. My supervisors were speaking ill of me. Not only were they speaking ill of me, they were writing me up. They were trying to hunt me down. It did not work. It did not work. I think I told you in another podcast where they are now. They began to fall like dominoes as soon as I surrendered. I realized I was not harmed. That lion was just roaring in my face, but he had no teeth to harm me. And then after the murmuring and the complaining and the whining, all from me, and also the psychoanalyzing, I learned to surrender everything to the Lord's way of doing things. So I didn't just sit there and say, all right, you do it. You defend me. I began speaking precatory psalms, because one of the principles is, until the other side starts to feel some pain, they're not going to stop. So you don't ignore them. You don't let them do whatever they want. You don't say, oh, you know, let God judge them out. God gave you dominion. Your mouth must be his mouth. Do the work that he tells you to do. Speak. Jesus spoke, you speak. Jesus is the word, speak his word. Speak Jesus. Be Jesus. Be more like him. Speak the word. The Holy Spirit inside of you is looking for space. He rides on the word. He thrives on it and feeds on it. And until you begin to speak more word and less, fake Christian talk, oh, well, God is in control. No, he said, I gave you control. What are you going to do with the control I gave you? You have to stop some things. So what we're going to do here, Real Royal Family, this is the end of Sibling Rivalry, Part 2. I thought we were going to end here, but there is some more. So stay tuned. Next week, we'll come back with Sibling Rivalry, Part 3, and I will teach you how to pray for your siblings. Now, I have been praying for my sibling and another family member. Now, I did see some change. I don't know if it's just more, manipulation. And as some fake Christians be like, well, I leave that for God to sort it out. I'm not going to judge. Yes, I am going to judge. It says, judge not, lest you be judged in the same manner. He has given us the ability to judge and see and think, so we don't get taken advantage of. Now, this sibling has been doing this kind of narcissism, backstabbing, and hating for over 2 decades. So they have to be consistent for 2 and 3 decades, and then maybe I will begin to be more trusting. But they have to put in the work. It is very, very hard work. It's actually not that hard, but you've been doing it for so long to resist the world, the flesh, and the devil. Real Royal Family, stay tuned to the rhythm of heaven, and I will see you and talk to you next week. I love you. Shalom, shalom.
If you say you love Jesus, roll with him now. All the shots in the world ain't gone, then it's crown. He put the power in your hands, power in your words. It's dominated with the greatest Lord, praise him first. We are soldiers of Jesus.
Huh. World coming in.